Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, and as I remain in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If they remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to do something a little bit experimental with this homily. It's the early mass. If it doesn't work, we'll just burn the recordings and forget about it. But I want to kind of begin with a brief reflection on Jesus' use of natural images and parables. He does this pretty often, doesn't he? He doesn't really sound like a theologian when he talks. He sounds more like a farmer or something, right? He explains spiritual things to his disciples, but he uses very earthy images to do it. And I've heard it said before that, well, what Jesus is doing is he's speaking to simple people, and he's telling them things in ways that they'll understand. And I think that's true. It's obviously true. But I also think that Jesus is sort of perfecting the sacramental nature of creation. And what I mean by the sacramental nature of creation is that God created the world in such a way that it can communicate to us. Creation has the capacity to communicate things to us, and we're very special in this world because he's given us the ability to receive that communication. In other words, God has made creation in such a way that he's in almost like embedded messages about himself and about the meaning of life, or however you want to say that. He's embedded it in creation. So he's made creation something capable of delivering a message, and he's made us beings that are able to read that message. We're able to read the signs, so to speak. So the world is something that communicates to us things that are bigger than just the world itself, right? So for instance, we can take something like the vine, or we can take something like human relationships like marriage or like the relationship between an employer and an employee. And these are very natural, normal things. But because creation is sacramental, it can also, for those who are able to read the signs, communicate much deeper realities to it. To us. And I think when Jesus uses all these parables, not only is he speaking in simple ways that simple people can understand simply, I think he's also maybe perfecting or restoring or teaching us how to read creation. And the reason I wanted to start with this strange little excursus is because I think that we have largely lost the ability to read the signs of creation. The world still communicates something to us, but we're less and less able to read it. And that may be for a number of reasons, right? Number one, we're not farmers anymore, so farm imagery is maybe a little bit less meaningful to us. But certainly we've become more and more detached from nature. We've become more and more detached from the dependence on nature. But I would actually argue that we have made strange idols out of creation. You know what I mean by idols, right? We've, in little ways, we've turned creation into gods rather than creatures. And so, for instance, let's take one of the great signs that God gave us in creation, which is the love between a man and a wife. It's a beautiful sign that communicates quite a lot. But maybe starting from the Romantic age going forward, we've learned to treat romantic love as a god. The problem is that when we treat romantic love like a god, romantic love ceases to be able to communicate to us about its creator. Nature loving, nature worship is kind of all the rage these days. But if we create a goddess out of Mother Earth, we no longer are able to read the message that Mother Earth is trying to give us, which is that I did not make myself. I am not your God. I was made by your God. That's why your saints can call me sister, right, rather than mother. So when we make these kind of false idols, when we lose touch with what's more real and what's less real, we actually begin to be unable to read the signs of creation. And what's a symptom of this? What brought me to this point? As I said, as I was preparing my homily this week, I wanted to be able to use the image of the vine and the branches to show how if we become separated from the vine, we'll die. If we become separated from Jesus, our spiritual life will wither up and die. And I ran into this problem. I said, to the minds of many of us, and probably many of the people that I'll be preaching to, that's not real. Because spiritual things aren't real. They might be real as an idea, but they're not really real. They're not real the way vines and branches are real. Vines and branches in the minds of many modern men are more real than spiritual things because we can see them, right? If we cut the branch off, we watch what happens to it. So, brothers and sisters, if we want to be able to recover the meaning of creation, we have to once again recognize its relationship to the Creator. We have to be able to look at the vine and see it as made by God and made in such a way that it can communicate to us. And then there's great spiritual riches that we can find in it. Last part of the homily here. A few years ago, I took up, in a minor way, gardening. And it's been a fantastically spiritually insightful practice. And about 3 years ago, I decided I was going to get into rose gardening. And so I planted some rose bushes, and one of them did brilliantly well. And it grew tall and strong. It got as tall as me. And, you know, really, lots of really strong, beautiful flowers. And I went and spoke to a friend of mine, teaches at my school, and he's an arborist or something, and knows all about gardens. And he came over and said, okay, we need to prune this bush for the winter. And I was thinking, you know, okay, we'll take off a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, just kind of like maintain shape. And by the time he was done, and he made me do all the work, he was just directing me. I had the scissors in my hand. By the time he was done, that big, beautiful rose bush that was like as big as me was reduced to 4 or 5 sticks that were 18 inches tall coming up out of the ground. And I felt like I had destroyed this plant that I'd seen grow and watered every day and get plant food to and pruned and cared for. And here, Tyler, you made me ruin my plant, and I may never forgive you, right? And he said, no, trust me, because it's in the stem, it's in the roots. He said, that's where all like the life of the plant is. And what you want is, you don't want to have a million little branches that are not being fruitful, taking up the energy out of the plant, right? The life of the plant comes from that stem and that base and the roots. And what you want to do is prune all the rest of that away so that more can come up and produce new branches, and they'll be strong branches, and they'll be fruitful branches. And sure enough, as spring came along, I watched, and that's exactly what happened. I was astonished at how quickly it grew, and I was astonished by how strong the new branches were, and I was amazed by how many and how beautiful the flowers they put forth. And it was a really beautiful spiritual reflection for me, because I recognized more than ever before that now when I look at the rose bush, I don't really see the little branches as the rose bush. I see the little branches as sort of the output of the life force that's in the rose bush itself, because I realize you can cut all that away, but as long as you have a strong stem and root and stalk, you're going to have strong roses. And brothers and sisters, that's more true about the spiritual life. All of our spiritual life comes from Jesus. and it comes to us in the church. And whatever else happens to us, whatever pruning the Lord makes us go through, as long as we remain attached to that stalk, as long as we remain attached to Jesus, most especially in the Eucharist, we're going to grow and we're going to bear fruit.